Here are some things that you owned in the 70s that are probably worth a fortune now. So I know people are going to be digging in boxes and closets and attics right now. 312-981-7200. Also, if you've ever done an Antiques Roadshow thing, text us or call us about your little story. Here's the first item, the Lord of the Rings Knickerbocker playset. So you have that from the 70s. In 1978, Ralph Bakshi directed an animated version with the voices of John Hurt, William Squire, and Anthony Daniels, among others. There was a toy promotion to go along with the movie, of course, and though the action figures look a little cheap by today's standards, they're anything but. According to eBay, the complete set of the Lord of the Rings Knickerbocker playset can sell up to $17,000. $17,000. So, Dan, did you ever, I'm not even going to bother to ask Esmeralda because she thinks the Lord of the Rings movies are all terrible, but did you ever see the animated version that Bakshi made?
No, I did not.
First of all, it's beautifully animated. It looks beautiful, but it's only like 90 minutes long. So they cut a couple things. They cut a couple things, but there's some great moments in it.
How much walking is there?
There's not enough walking. Because you know that, as Kevin Smith has said many times, that whole movie is about walking. He said all it is people walking. Kevin Smith, I love this. And they also use that as a monologue in Clerks, too. Randall makes the monologue about how the whole movie, the damn movie, is about walking. Everybody, it's just about walking. He said it's so much, even the damn trees in the movie walk, which is true. Okay, Dan, here's the item I have. David Bowie's Diamond Dogs album on vinyl.
Ah.
Says, check your old vinyl. In 1974, David Bowie released the Diamond Dogs LP, which featured artwork of a cartoonish Bowie/dog. The top half of the creature was Bowie, and the bottom half was all canine, including its genitals. Before the album was released, RCA decided to avoid controversy and had the artwork retouched to remove the offending parts. However, some enterprising employees were able to snag some of the originals and in 2003 sold one of them for $3,550. See, now I have to go home and when I see my parents next, dig out the album because I have to look for genitals.
You'd think you'd remember that.
I don't know. I totally remember the album cover because it was a fold-out album cover.
Especially you with the memory of a steel cage when it comes to albums.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I don't think the version that I had genitals. I think it was all sort of, you know, oh man, that's going to end up on the show on Friday. Absolutely no doubt about it. It'll be on Straight Out of Context. Anyway. So anyway, if you've got Diamond Dogs laying around in your album collection, check for genitals. And if there are genitals, it's worth money. So there you go. That's a weird album, by the way. Diamond Dogs, good though. The album cover, I remember the album cover was very, very strange. Have you ever seen the album cover, Esmeralda? Because it's like half Bowie, half dog. It's very weird. And it's a fold-out album. It wasn't a double album. It was a fold-out album cover. So you get the whole thing. But it's a weird album cover. And I remember my friend Dan Long's older brother, Eddie. He lived in the basement of their house. And all he did was blow. He had a water bed. And all he did was blow weed. Lived in his parents' basement and blew weed. And back in the 70s, there were things called seeds in marijuana. And you used to have to cut the seeds out of your pot, and most people did it on album covers. And I specifically remember Diamond Dogs being filled with seeds, like you'd open it up and seeds would roll out of the gatefold, because he cut all the seeds out of his pot using Diamond Dogs. So that's my specific memory. All right, we've got a break here. We got the news coming up, and then more things from the 70s that might be worth a fortune, a little antique roadhouse stuff right here on 720 WGN. Yeah. No idea what the hell this is. 630 area code. Two for Tuesday, yeah. Purity ring with fine shrine. What do we know about Purity Ring? Evidently, they have two songs because it's Two for Tuesday.
hailing from Alberta, Canada. Consists of Megan James and Corin Roddick. Megan James does the vocals. Corin Roddick does the instrumentals.
Mm.
They wrote three songs on Katy Perry's new album, Witness.
Oh. Okay. And they're out of Canada.
Yes.
Why didn't Bill request this? Canadian Bill.
Maybe 630 beat him to it.
All right. Two for Tuesday. Purity Ring out of Canada. Maybe they know Saga. Don't all Canadian artists know each other?
I was going to say, that list is probably shorter of people who don't know Saga.
Yeah. Come on. You know Bryan Adams is at Saga's house right now hanging out. They're waiting for Rush to show up with a pizza. Then they're going to call Triumph up and say, come on over, guys. That's how I picture Canadian artists and bands just hang out and... They hang out at Saga's house. They all hang out at Saga's house. So, all right. Digging through your closet, you might find some stuff from the 70s that's worth a fortune now. That's what we're talking about. If you have the Lord of the Rings Knickerbocker playset, which was a tie-in to the animated Ralph Bakshi version of Lord of the Rings from 1978, it could sell upwards to $17,000. So you might want to... Might want to check your closets. I mean, if you got some Lord of the Rings Knickerbocker playset, 17 grand, you know, it's worth a look. If you have a copy of David Bowie's Diamond Dogs album from 1974 and the bottom half of David Bowie's human/dog thing, if that bottom half has genitals, that could be worth over $3,500. And now we have Luke Skywalker action figure. Now, everybody has, well, I don't, but everybody, you know, who grew up a Star Wars fan probably has a Luke Skywalker action figure, but you have to have a complete exact one. So here's what it is. You probably don't own this exact Luke Skywalker action figure with double telescoping lightsaber when you were a kid, but there are only 20 known toys in existence. If you are one of the lucky few, though, get thyself to Sotheby's. In 2015, this 1978 Kenner toy sold for $25,000. But even if you don't own the ultra-rare figure, don't despair. Your old Star Wars toys could still be worth hundreds or even thousands of dollars. So I'm guessing Colin and Eric are sitting on a gold mine. Don't you think, Dan?
Probably.
And we'll probably have them in a couple of months because the new Star Wars... movie is coming out December 15th. We'll get them in to do the Star Wars thing when they bring in all their crazy toys. And did you see the Star Wars trailer?
I did not.
It's pretty good, man. Looks good. So there you go. But the one that they're looking for, the specific Luke Skywalker action figure, has the double telescoping lightsaber. I don't even know what that means. Dan, do you know what a double telescoping lightsaber is?
No clue.
I have no idea what that means. Okay. Since when is there a telescope involved in a lightsaber? They don't telescope things. They just cut people in half, right? Press a button, vroom, and the thing comes out and you kill somebody.
I am reading about a double telescoping lightsaber and I still couldn't tell you what it means. The small tip further telescopes from the main part of the lightsaber. Many people believe they have a double telescoping figure when, in fact, they have a standard single telescoping version. All lightsabers for these three figure telescopes, but the double telescoping version is much, much rarer.
Okay. Esmeralda, you better check your Star Wars toys when you get home, because I know you've got a vast selection.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there for days.
Yeah, just looking for make sure that your telescoping lightsaber is double telescoping and not single telescoping.
See, and I got like seven of those,
yeah.
So I'm going to have to check each one.
You have to check them.
Okay, I think I got it. So, like, you know, those swords that fold into the handle.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You swing it and then all three parts pop out.
Yeah.
So on this action figure, if you have a single telescoping, it is just
one thing.
Double scope.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Wait, but they had those back in the 70s?
Oh, yeah.
With the two?
Oh, sure. Yeah. The lightsabers, you could just flick your wrist and they go, and they pop out.
No, but the double. I thought that was from the newer movies.
No, no. Oh, no, 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 no. It's still just one lightsaber. But the way the plastic is constructed, it comes out in two forms instead of one.
Oh.
It still just makes one lightsaber.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because Kylo Ren, is that his name? Right? Kylo Ren?
Their kid?
Adam Driver?
Yeah.
Spoiler.
He's got the... come on. The movie came out 2 years ago.
By the way, Luke's father is Darth Vader.
What?
I know.
Bite your tongue.
Someone had to tell me that, and I didn't believe it.
Can I ask if you guys have heard Patton Oswalt's bit about being in a time machine? And his thoughts on the prequels, on the Phantom Menace, and Attack of the Clones, and Sith. Have you ever heard this bit, Esmeralda, that he does?
No, I haven't.
It is absolutely brilliantly funny. Like he says that if he had a time machine, he could go back in time. Would he like stop the Kennedy assassination and find out who Jack the Ripper is? He says that he goes, the first thing I thought of doing is if I had a time machine, I'd go back to like 1993. 1994, and I'd kill George Lucas with a shovel just so he couldn't make the sequels.
Couldn't you just kidnap him for a little bit or something? I don't know.
He says, that's how I would save the world. I would kill George Lucas with a shovel so he wouldn't make the prequels. And then he says, but if I ran into George Lucas and I said, oh, you're George Lucas, man. You're the best. You're really great. You're the best, man. I don't want to freak out on you, but I love Star Wars. I just want to thank you for Star Wars. And then he goes, you like Star Wars, do you? And he does the wimpy George Lucas voice. So I want to tell you something. I'm working on the prequels on the first three chapters. Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, that's amazing. I can't wait. It's so great. I'm so excited. Finally. He goes, yeah, you like Star Wars? Do you like Darth Vader? And Patton Oswalt goes, oh, are you kidding? Darth Vader with the sword and the helmet? He's the best, man. I love him. He's the best. Well, great, because he's in the first movie. Oh, my God, that's fantastic. He's in the first movie. Yeah, and in the first movie, you get to see him as a little kid. There's a long pause. He goes, well, I don't really care. Is he like a Damien Omen kid killing people with his mind and stuff?
No, he's just this little kid. And then he's taken away from his mom, and he gets very sad.
Is that really the issue with it? I always thought it was like Jar Jar. And
no, well, I mean, there's a lot of the bit that Patton is doing here is about. Well, here, let me finish the thing, because then he goes, I don't really care about him as a kid. I really don't. I, you know, what's cool about him is like the helmet and the sword and the killing people. I don't really care about him as a kid.
Oh, okay. Well, don't worry, because in the second movie, Boba Fett's going to be in it.
And Patton Oswalt goes, oh, man, Boba Fett. Oh, Boba Fett's the best. You know, bounty hunter. He's got that helmet. He's killing people. It's awesome.
Yeah. And then in the second movie, you get to see him as a little kid.
And there's a long pause. And he goes, really, I don't care. I don't really want to see him as a little kid. I don't really. What is it? Does he kill people? Does he have the little helmet? Is he little bounty hunter? He's killing.
No, he's just a little kid. His dad dies and he gets sad.
Then there's another long pause. And he goes, that's horrible. I can't. That sounds like it's just terrible.
And he goes, well, don't worry, because you know what shows up in the third movie?
And Patton Oswalt goes, no, what? And he goes, the Death Star. And he goes, oh, the Death Star. Oh, that's great. Blowing up planet. Oh, wait a second, George. Wait a second. What's the Death Star doing in the third movie?
He goes, oh, well, it's being built. And at the end of the movie, Darth Vader just kind of looks at it.
Then he goes, he's like, oh, my God, that's horrible. I don't care about how they built the Death Star or how they put the air conditioning in or any of that crap. I just like it blowing up planets. Do you understand? I just want the Death Star to be there like the Death Star and blow up planets. And he goes,
you look very sad.
And Patton Oswalt goes, yeah, I am sad because that all sounds terrible. That just sounds horrible, all of it.
Well, would you like some ice cream?
Patton Oswalt goes, yeah, oh, yeah, I'd love some ice cream. It'd be great. I'd really, yeah, I'd love a dish of ice cream. He goes, okay, good. Here's a big bag of rock salt. And he goes, wait a minute, you just said that you were going to give me a dish of ice cream And you give me rock salt. And he goes, yes, but if you take the rock salt and you combine it with ice and flavorings and cream, it will become ice. No, I don't care about that. I don't care where the stuff I love comes from. I just love the stuff that I love. And then the last part is, he goes, hey, do you like Angelina Jolie? Does she make you very horny? Is that great? And he goes, yeah. Well, here's John Voight's privates. He doesn't say, but he says something else. But that's like the gist of it is that Patton Oswalt doesn't care about where any of that stuff came from. It's one of my favorite bits. It's much better. Like him doing it is much better than what I just did. But that's the gist of it. But you're right, Esmeralda. The complaints about the prequels aren't just that, and those are complaints. Like the little kid playing Anakin was terrible, and all the stuff with the kid was stupid, and taking Boba Fett and turning him into a little weasel was not good. You know. But in addition to all of that, you know, you've got your Jar Jar Binks, you've got your just stupid story in general. But Patton Oswalt's like problem with it was that he doesn't care where all this stuff comes from. Just here's a big bag of rock salt. It's the best. Patton Oswalt's a genius, by the way. Okay, we got more stuff that's in your that might be in your closet from the 70s that could be worth a lot of money. Crumbled and hiding in you. Oh. Okay. Two for Tuesday, yeah, man. Two for Tuesday, yeah. 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. Get them in now. 630 area code with Purity Ring and Shuck. Wonder if that's named after the actor John Shuck, who played Yo-Yo on Holmes and Yo-Yo. You guys remember Holmes and Yo-Yo? Do you guys remember?
What was it?
TV show, Holmes and Yo-Yo.
Right, but
is that a buddy cop comedy?
Yes, it was. And Yo-Yo was a robot. John Shuck played a robot. And like, if you look up the I can't remember the actor's name who played Holmes. Older guy, character actor, sort of a rubbery face. But like the stills for it, like it's always John Shuck opening up his dress shirt, and there's like a panel with buttons and lights on it that shows that he's a robot.
Richard B. Schull.
Yeah, Richard B. Schull. Richard B. Schull and John Shuck.
Well, they look like a bumbling duo.
Oh yeah, Holmes and Yo-Yo. I would not miss an episode of Holmes and Yo-Yo when I was a kid. John Shuck was on a ton of stuff too. He was a Klingon in a couple of Star Trek movies. John Shuck, Holmes and Yo-Yo. I have a feeling that show lasted one season. That's just I'm just taking a guess.
You are correct. 13 episodes.
What, 78 maybe? Something 77, 78 around that time maybe?
76 to 77.
Okay. Holmes and Yo-Yo, man. Don't mess around. Okay.
Bullets made him break out dancing.
I'm guessing I don't remember that.
Oh my gosh, why?
Much of the show's comedy was derived from Yo-Yo's constant malfunctions.
Yeah, that I remember.
Some of his common problems included uncontrollably spinning head over heels when near an electric garage door opener. Bullets caused them to break out dancing.
Yeah.
Magnets flew at him all the time.
Yep.
He picked up radio signals from Sweden. Polaroid photos would come out of his shirt pocket when he got punched in the nose. It's not been rebooted.
I was going to say, how did it only last one season? How did that only last one season? Now, Richard B. Schull was in a ton of stuff. A ton of stuff. He's one of those character actor guys that's in a ton of... Hey, by the way, speaking of character actors, Dan, we got to get Tobo back on.
Yeah, that show debuts this weekend, right?
Yeah, with Jay Farrow. White Famous. It's called White Famous, and it's on Showtime. Tobo's in the trailer. So that's a good any excuse to get Stephen Tobolowsky back on the show is a good excuse. Maybe we can ask him if he was ever on an episode of Holmes and Yo-Yo, or if he even remembers Holmes and Yo-Yo. Are there people out there that remember Holmes? Anybody else watch Holmes and Yo-Yo? I watched it all the time. And that's because the song that we just played was called Shuck. That's why I thought, first thing I thought of was Holmes and Yo-Yo. So, all right, if you have the Sex Pistols, God Save the Queen, and No Feelings 45, you might want to dig that out. The infamously offensive Sex Pistols signed to A&M Records in 1977 and were dropped by the label exactly 6 days later for proving to be too much to handle. But in those 6 days, 25,000 copies of the band's God Save the Queen single had already been pressed. 9 copies serviced over the years, making the rare records worth a great penny. In 2003, a copy with a paper sleeve sold for $17,600. So if you've got the God Save the Queen single, might want to check it out. Okay, now, Walk Lively Steffi Barbie. Remember Barbie's friend from the 70s, Steffi? S-T-E-F-F-I-E. Esmeralda, did you have a Steffi?
She sounds insufferable.
Not many people remember her, which may be why a mint condition Walk Lively Steffi doll that's in its box can be worth nearly $800. What does Walk Lively mean?
Did she walk?
I don't know.
It could be a thing. Maybe she could walk or something. Because I think, I forget when they started adding knees to Barbie.
They started adding knees?
Well, you know, like, so she could sit and move.
Oh, so you mean like,
bend her
like joints. You can bend, okay.
That's what it is. I'm not sure.
Walk Lively Steffi. If you've got a Walk Lively Steffi somewhere in your closet, it could be worth $800.
Yeah, so she from the box that I'm looking at, bendable legs, real eyelashes, walk and turn, stand included. So I guess you put her on this thing and then she probably turns and
right.
It looks real, like she's walking.
Real eyelashes?
Real eyelashes.
That's creepy.
See, now my Barbie's never had real eyelashes.
No.
So.
That's some Blade Runner stuff right there, man. Steffi was a replicant, evidently. Okay. All right. We have to break here for the news, and we'll come back. We got more stuff that you might want to dig out of your closet and take somewhere to get some money. That's all coming up. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. Obviously, that's Green Day. 630 area code requested that. That's American Idiot. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How are you? It's Tuesday. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. And Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. We're talking about some items that you might have laying around in your house that are worth some money. These things that you may have owned in the 70s. You might want to check them out and see if you got some laying around because it could be worth a lot of money. And then we're also talking about your adventures, finding maybe some old stuff that you thought was junk and doing maybe an antiques roadshow kind of thing with it and finding out that it's worth a lot of money. 312-981-7200. We mentioned just a little recap here. If you happen to have the Lord of the Rings Knickerbocker playset from the 1978 movie version, the animated version of Lord of the Rings, that could be worth, a complete set is worth up to $17,000. If you have the David Bowie album Diamond Dogs from 1974, and if the lower half of Bowie's body, which is a canine body, has genitals, that could be worth up to $3,500. A Luke Skywalker action figure with the double telescoping lightsaber could be worth $25,000. The Sex Pistols single, God Saves the Queen, that could be worth $17,000. And the Walk Lively Steffi doll, Barbie's friend, if it's in mint condition in a box, it could be worth $800. So that's just some of the stuff that could be worth a lot of money. You might want to dig through your closets here. Got a couple of texts here. 630 area code says, I had an old clock that was given to me by my grandparents. I had to take it to a clock repair shop, and I thought it was worth $150. The store owner mentioned that if I was ever interested in selling it, he would offer me $3,500. Wow. So did you keep it, 630 area code, or did you sell it to the guy for $3,500? 219 area code says, I went to the Antique Roadshow in Indianapolis last year. I took a beaded purse that I found in my neighbor's trash when I was in kindergarten some 50-plus years ago. We were dumpster divers before it was cool. Anyway, it was a long day of standing in long lines, but it was pretty interesting to see what everybody else brought. We got up to the appraiser, and he said that my purse was from the 1920s, probably similar to the one that women had taken on the Titanic, and he said the value of it was probably $300. Oh, that's not bad.
It's always the question, like, what do you do after that? Like, do you sell it?
Yeah, that is a good question.
Do you just keep it and hope it...
It goes up in value?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they do follow-ups on Antiques Roadshow to find out what these people have done with their items?
I don't think I've ever seen one. I wonder if they have people there that are like, yeah, no, I'll buy it right now.
I'll buy it right now. Yeah.
630 texted back, he did keep the clock.
He kept the clock. Okay. He kept it. $3,500 clock.
Well, I would get a second opinion. Just because that person probably was trying to undermine or undercut.
Yeah, maybe it's worth like 10 grand. And
yeah.
He said, I'll give you $3,500 for
it. Right? Because he's probably like, this schmo doesn't know.
Yeah. You ever see the episode where Lamont brings home a commode?
No.
And gets it off of this woman in the street for like $20, brings it home. And Fred's like, what is it? He's like, it's a commode. You paid $20 for a toilet? Dummy. That's what Fred says. So then a guy comes into the shop. He actually went to a shop and got it appraised and said, this thing is worth like $500. And he goes, $500? $500 for a toilet? And then a guy comes in into the shop, actually played by Dr. Smith from Lost in Space. He comes in and offers him like $1,500 for it. And he had already promised it to another guy for $500. And so the guy who comes in with the $500 just, you know, says that I offered you $500 for it, blah, blah, blah. And he sold it back to him for like, he sold it back. Lamont sold it back to him for like $100 or something. So now he's out $120. And then you find out that Dr. Smith was working with the other guy and they were scamming him. So they got the $120 from Lamont. The thing was worthless, and the check that they wrote for $1,500 bounced.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He got at one point, because Fred kept saying, this isn't good, dummy. There's something funny about what's going on, dummy. But Lamont goes ahead and does the deal, loses the money, and then he goes, well, what about the check? Because after they find out, you know, he's like, he was working for the same guy, dummy. You know, they were working together. They've been working up and down the street here, all the junk shops on the street, taking money from everybody. And then Lamont's like, well, what about the check for $1,500? He goes, well, I just called the bank, and the check's still bouncing. This is my favorite line in the whole thing. Called the bank, the check is still bouncing. Sanford and Son, genius. Here's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Nick?
All right.
Years ago, back when I was in the Army down in Georgia, a bunch of us went up to Atlanta. They had one of them roadshow things.
Yeah.
And somebody had something worth over $100,000. I think it was like $150,000.
Jeez.
And they actually had guards come and escort them out to their cars.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, man. I'm not surprised. I mean, because you walk in there thinking something is worthless, and the next thing it's worth $150,000, and you've got to have some, guards with you.
It's like us idiots. We were just in there to see what kind of stuff they had, you know?
Right.
You know, antique stuff. And, well, hell, this guy's got this. And, look, you could thump him and throw it in the back of your car.
Yeah, that's right. Know? That's why you got to. So,
I mean, I'd be afraid to take stuff to one of them, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's just too many people in there. So, anyway.
Okay, Rich. Thanks, man. Take care.
Yep, have a good show.
Thank you, buddy.
Later.
See ya. You imagine walking into some place you think it's worth, like, $50 and it's worth $150,000. Then you got to have armed guards walking out to your car.
Although the better ones are they think it's like some crazy. My grandma gave this to me and she said it's been in the family. It's like, nah, You bought this for like a nickel somewhere.
Yeah, that's what that's. Those are always the ones that are kind of funny to watch. It's like people are like, "Yeah, I know that this is worth at least $50,000," and they go up there and it's like $25. So there you go. All right, got a break here for weather and traffic coming up in a little bit. We've got our Blackhawks Express, and that's coming up as well. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday, and that is Green Day, 630 area code on Revolution Radio right there. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us, talk or text. We're talking about maybe going to an antiques roadshow type thing, thinking that you have a piece of junk and finding out that it's worth a lot of money, or vice versa. And I also been checking out some stuff here from the 70s that might be worth a ton of money if you've got it laying around in your house. So let's see. How about this? 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Who knew an exclamation point would be worth so much? In some early copies of Gabriel Garcia Marquez's 100 Years of Solitude, the first paragraph of the dust jacket blurb featured an exclamation point instead of a period. That little mistake makes a first edition with the exclamation point worth $740. And even the version with the intended period is worth about $400. Wow. So the exclamation point, $740. Yeah. There's a lot of typos on. We get a lot. You know, when we have guests on, Dan, as you know this, we have authors on, we sometimes get the pre-proof, you know, copies.
Right, the galley copy.
The galley copy we usually get. And there are some of them are rife with mistakes, you know. But, of course, obviously, you know, it already says it's not the released version. So I know that those aren't worth anything. I got like 75 of those at my apartment of like uncorrected copies that you know, were released for the press before the actual pressing. So, all right, how about this? Steve from Plainfield says Antiques Roadshow does a follow-up show showing big valued items and showing the change after 5 to 10 years. They have some cute music showing if the price went up or appreciate in value, and then sad music when it goes down in time. If the money, if it goes down, do they play this? You know, I was told 10 years ago that this mirror was worth $10,000. It's now worth $700. Um, 507 area code says, my son yelled at me for taking a handheld Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game out of its wrapper. He thinks it was worth money. I don't.
I once found a, you know, those rubber wristbands that people wear? Like the
Armstrong, the
yes.
Lance Armstrong? Yeah.
I found one on the ground once, and it was in its wrapper. It was for for one of the Harry Potter books. I'm still holding on to it in hopes that like someday I could put it on eBay.
What is it?
It's like for the one of the release dates for the books.
Oh, so is it something that you would put on while you're in line for the book?
I have no idea.
Like to get in?
I think it's just maybe like a sell, like they're a swag. I don't know. I'm hoping.
I would think that that would be like a thing, a wristband that you would put on maybe to get into a book signing or something.
Beats. I don't know. We'll see. I think it was just like a swag thing, like. To celebrate the day it came out or whatever.
Okay.
I think it's a Gryffindor one. So I'm crossing my fingers.
Oh, so they even have it down to different houses?
I think so. I'm going to assume so.
Okay. Gryffindor is not, I would rather have Slytherin. That's just me.
All right, well, I found this one on the ground.
I'm just saying.
There wasn't, like, others to choose from.
Like Gryffindor, man. Okay, that means Gryffindor, they're not responsible for their own things. Whereas Slytherin, there's no way that a Slytherin would leave his wristband on the ground somewhere. This wouldn't happen. So, oh, man. Esmeralda, have you ever read any of the Harry Potter books?
I read the first one.
And that was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I could get into the second one. Or maybe I did. I read maybe half.
Well, they just keep getting longer. I mean, yeah. You know, by the last book, it was like 1,000 pages, like 800 pages.
Or I'm sorry. I think mine is Slytherin.
Is it Slytherin?
Because I'm looking at things.
Well, what are
the
what's
green
the
one is Slytherin.
What's the explanation for it as
they're,
to what it is?
Yeah, from the Deathly Hallows release. They're just wristbands.
They're just wristbands tied in with the last book's release.
Yeah. So there's a Ravenclaw, Slytherin,
right.
Gryffindor.
Right.
$14.95.
And Hufflepuff.
On
don't
eBay.
Forget. Don't forget Hufflepuff.
Oh, right.
$14.95. Look at that. You got a $15 wristband at home.
Hey.
You're sitting on top of a gold mine.
Better than nothing.
Yeah. You know, when the Harry Potter books were released, I was doing, you know, weekend overnights here at the station, and we would get live reports from bookstores for people who were online and kids who were online to get the books. And it was always very exciting. It was always a lot of fun because the kids would get on and go, I can't wait to get my book. They were always very excited. And then we'd have people who were sitting in the parking lot waiting because sometimes it would be cold out. And they'd be sitting in the car waiting for the bookstore to open up. I always found that very exciting.
It's better than, you know, a phone.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like anything.
Book.
Listen, anything that encourages kids to read is good.
Yeah. That's nice that it was a book.
It's one of the many things I love about the Harry Potter series is that suddenly kids wanted to read books and books that were 800 pages long. And I just thought that was great. And that's one of the reasons why I adore the series and the books, the movies, everything. It was really weird. When I went to go see Deathly Hallows, the last movie, I saw it at the midnight show, part two, the very last, because they split it into two movies. So the second movie, the part two of Deathly Hallows, I go and see it with a group of people, and we walk in, and the place is filled with 20-somethings. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Why are all these 20-somethings here? Where are the kids? And then and one of my friends goes, hey, moron, the books came out like almost 20 years ago. And I'm like, oh, that's right. The books came out, the movies came out in 2001. So that would have made these kids like 6 or 7 when the first movie came out. So of course they're in their 20s now, and I'm like, what are these 20 somethings doing here? Well, they grew up on this stuff, moron. That's why they're here.
Who are these grown ups?
What's going on? All right, we have to break. We got the news coming up, and then more items. And if you've got any antique roadshows stories, let us know. And Blackhawks Express coming up as well. This is the antique roadshow theme. We didn't have time for another two for Tuesday. No time for two for because we've got a Blackhawks Express coming up after the next break. So we've been talking about antique roadshow. We've been talking about stuff that may be laying around your house that's worth money. And we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200 if you have any sort of, hey, this is junk. No, it's not. 312-981-7200. I've also been talking about this list of things from the 70s that if you've got them in your house, it might be worth a little dough. You might want to go check it out and see if it's worth anything. Next one on here is the limited edition version of the first Star Wars comic book. First Star Wars comic book. Here's a riddle for you. When is 5 cents worth $7,500? Answer. When rare Star Wars memorabilia is involved. When the first issue of the Star Wars comic book was released in 1977, Marvel published about 1,500 limited edition copies for 35 cents instead of the usual 30 cents. Spending that extra nickel 40 years ago is worth more than $7,000 today, and there's currently one on eBay being sold for more than $10,000. Wow. $10,000. Hey, Dan, can you look up something for me on the eBays to see if there's one on there? Did you know that KISS released a comic book in there?
I do.
In the 70s?
Yeah.
And what, you remember the big hook?
Yeah, their blood was in it.
Yeah, they put their blood in the ink. KISS put their blood in the ink. And I had that comic book. I'm assuming it's not worth anything. But I had the comic book, the big KISS comic book. Everybody, because, you know, when you're 11 in the 70s, you like KISS.
Right.
Legally, you have to. Let me specify that. 11-year-old boy. KISS became popular in, like, when I was about 10. They became very popular. So between the ages of 10 and, like, 13, I was a massive KISS fan. And then I hit puberty and went, these guys suck.
But when did they do the thing where they unmasked?
That was in the 80s.
Okay. Yeah, so you were long gone.
Long gone by that point. Do you?
I hate to tell you that the lowest one I'm seeing is $99.
$99?
$99, and the highest, with a comics grade of 9.8 on a scale of 10, is a current cost of $1,050.
Wow. Well, mine would not be in tip-top condition, I can tell you that. It's probably the one that's worth $1,000 is probably in one of those, you know, plastic
exactly.
sleeves and
yeah.
stuff.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's not. Yeah, mine was thrown around the room. I'd slap my friends with it across the head.
Well, that's what I'm imagining with the Star Wars comic book, this first one.
Yeah.
Like, what kid is like, yes, I will.
I know. That's the thing. That's the thing about all these toy things, you know?
Yeah. You have to be a real weird kid.
Yeah. Well, you've seen the 40-year-old virgin, right?
Yeah.
Where, I mean, he's got all the, he ends up putting it all on eBay when he's, you know.
Right.
And all that. But he's freaking out because somebody would try to take the package, out of the package.
I know parents now, if they know it might be something, they'll buy two.
They'll buy two. They keep one in the package, one that the kid can play with.
Which I always imagine, like, it's going to be worth nothing.
Yeah.
Because you're taking all this time.
I don't know. I never, you know, I mean, I just think it's, you know, you buy a kid a toy, let him play with it.
Right.
I mean, I don't care.
My parents bought me a Barbie. It was like some special edition Christmas Barbie or whatever.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, they would not let me take it out of the box.
Because they thought it was going to be worth some money?
Well, yeah, and it was, like, very nice, like a special edition. So they're like, you're just going to take, like, make her hair all crazy and...
Well, that's what the kids do.
I know, but this is, like, a really nice one. This is the kind you, like, put on a little pedestal thingy. And I would always try to stick my fingers in the box to, like,
man.
Try to play with the... And then I think finally one day I just go, I was like, forget it. And I opened it.
That's so sad. Yeah. Little Esmeralda tried to play with the devil.
Stick touch the Barbie.
I'm going to touch the Barbie. That's sad. Okay, Esmeralda, did you have a Remco Batman utility belt?
Unfortunately not.
No? The Remco Batman utility belt from the 70s came with all the bells and whistles. A communicator, decoder glasses, a toy watch, handcuffs, Gotham City decoder map, secret identity card, and a secret message. Among other things. That's cool.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
I want one of those now.
I mean, they sell Batman. Do you want one for Christmas?
Yeah.
A Batman belt.
A little Batman belt.
Okay.
Not only is it cool, there are a lot of little pieces to keep track of, so you can see why a complete set in decent condition sells for more than $3,000. Yeah, because all that stuff gets lost. You're going to lose it all. I got a utility belt. It's empty. There are no.
You pretend to like put new things in. You're
no
like, I don't have the real thing for this.
No utilities in it.
It's just a belt.
It's
now.
It's just a belt now, but it's very spiffy.
Holds up my pants.
You can wear it to prom. The Alpine Man Pez dispenser.
Who's the Alpine Man?
Well, to commemorate, it's funny you should ask, Esmeralda. To commemorate the 1972 Olympics in Munich, Pez released the Alpine Man Pez Dispenser. There were two variants, a mustachioed figure in a green alpine hat and a clean-shaven one wearing a brown cap. The green hat can be worth up to $3,000. The brown one is worth considerably more, but it's apparently so extremely rare that no pricing actually exists.
Wow. Now, I know with Pez dispensers, the expensive ones are the ones without feet. Like, those are the collectors. Because at some point, they
feet?
Started...
They put feet
yeah,
on Pez dispensers?
Like little, like, plastic things. So they kind of look like feet. They're, like, two little...
At the very bottom?
Yeah, at the bottom. They're just flat. I think it's just so they stand up better. But
yeah, because well, people
before
have...
Before that, they didn't.
Yeah, I don't remember feet being on Pez dispensers.
I have a few. I have a few Pez dispensers that I bought growing up.
There's people who have huge, ridiculous collections of
right.
Pez dispensers, man.
Yeah.
I dated a girl who had, like, a massive amount of Pez dispensers.
Yeah. I had a bunch, and I had one, and my friend, it was a Chewbacca, and he burnt its face with a lighter. He was so mean. He burnt my Chewbacca.
He burnt your Chewbacca? You sure it wasn't one of my friends?
I was like, no.
Poor
Chewbacca.
We'd set everything on fire.
Maimed.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many G.I. Joes I maimed.
No, he did
over
it.
The years.
He did it just, I think, out of spite or something.
Oh, just like, hey.
Yeah. I was like why?
Like the kid who lives next door in Toy Story?
Yeah.
Like that kid?
He wasn't even a kid. We were probably, like, in college.
What a jerk.
No, he was mean to me.
What was the kid's name who lived next door in Toy Story? The creepy kid who mutilated all his toys. God, I love that kid. What was
his based after?
Tommy?
Based on you?
No, I didn't do that kind of stuff. I would just smash my friends in the face with things.
Oh, okay.
I did blow up like G.I. Joes and stuff.
Oh, my
But
gosh.
I never tore toys apart and stuck them back together. Like that baby, that scary, like creepy mutant baby in Toy Story. I would never do that.
Sid.
That's right. It's Sid. How could I forget that? Sid. I remember when Toy Story came out, I was like really negative on it before I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I don't want any computers with my animation. I was like old school, you know?
Would you even have known?
Well, yeah. Have you seen Toy Story?
Yeah, but would you, I mean...
it's obviously computer animated.
I mean, but even the drawing ones are...
Well, now, but back in that, that was a really groundbreaking movie, Toy Story. Nothing had ever been really done like that.
I guess
except for the Dire Straits video. But I was like, you know, I didn't want it to take over because hand-drawn animation, in my opinion, still to this day, hand-drawn animation is the quintessential, most beautiful animation that there is.
Right.
So when I was like, oh, it's going to be all computers, that's going to suck. And I went to go see it. And, of course, Toy Story is fantastic. And the people at Pixar are just as good as artists as anybody else. But I still think that the hand-drawn stuff is, I love it more.
Right.
And now what I love the most, I mean, I love the hand-drawn stuff, but now what I love the most is the Laika stuff, the guys that did Kubo and Coraline and Paranorman. No computers. That was all. That's hand stuff. That's done. There's no computers. Yeah. You've seen Kubo.
Yeah.
Breathtakingly beautiful.
Right. It made no money.
No, it didn't make a lot of money, but it's gorgeous. And there's people see that movie, and you have to say, listen, when you're watching this movie, realize no computers were used. This is all artists using their hands and using film. And that makes it even more amazing. Like you, because it's a breathtakingly beautiful movie, Kubo. And if you've not seen it, really, seriously, and not only is it just visually beautiful, but it's emotionally, like, forget it. We've discussed this before.
Yeah.
Weeping like a baby at the end of that movie. I've seen Kubo and the Two Strings like 900 times. I cry my eyes out in the last 15 minutes of the movie. Anyway, no computers. But anyway, Toy Story is great. And eventually, one of my favorite animated movies came from Pixar of all time. That's WALL-E. And that's all computers. But
it's about a computer.
It's about a computer. Well, yeah. He's a very...
Made by computers for computers.
He's a little machine. Boy, when he loses his memory and he starts taking stuff and making it into garbage again and he doesn't remember Eva... Makes me cry every time I see it. I love that movie. It's ridiculous how much I love that movie. It's beautiful. Okay, we got a break here. We got weather, traffic, and then an unfortunate Blackhawks Express. The Hawks did play last night, and they did lose in overtime, and you'll hear all the highlights. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. All right, we got a couple more items here as well. Mm-hmm. The original Mego Robin action figure.
Who?
The Mego company doesn't produce action figures anymore. It's a company.
Okay.
It went bankrupt in 1982, but for a decade it was considered the world's greatest action figure company. Many of their figures are worth a nice chunk of change today. The original Robin the Boy Wonder from 1973 takes the cake. The version came with a removable mask. When did Robin wear a mask? Oh, he did wear a mask over his eyes.
Yeah.
While later versions came with the mask painted on. As you might imagine, the teeny little piece of cloth was lost by kids who played with the toy, so finding a Robin in good condition with the mask is pretty rare, and one of them sold for $7,357.
Wow.
This is what we're learning here, is that if you have a toy with many little parts and components, don't lose them.
Don't let your kids play with any toys.
That's right. Keep just let them look at it. You can look at it. All right, that's it. Put it back in a closet.
Put it.
But then you have desperate kids like Esmeralda trying to stick their finger in the little box.
Just like a touch.
I want to play with the dolly. The Addams Family Lunchbox. They're creepy and they're kooky and they're worth a lot of money. This metal lunchbox by King Seeley depicts the cartoon version of everyone's favorite ooky sitcom family. The good condition set containing the lunchbox and matching thermos can be worth up to $325. I grew up in the days of metal lunchboxes.
Mm-hmm.
When you could bust it over somebody's head real good.
I mean, you could bust a plastic one, too.
Yeah, but it's more damaging if it's metal. And then Pyrex dishes. I have Pyrex dishes at home. You probably have Pyrex dishes at home.
They're different.
I have old, these are old.
Oh, okay.
Your parents and grandparents shouldn't have passed those Pyrex dishes down. They're worth a lot of dough these days. Whole sets of certain patterns and colors go for thousands of dollars. Even single bowls can fetch hundreds. Like a Christmas bowl from the early 70s is going for $370. My parents better start looking into their cabinets.
Yeah. I know at a certain, I don't know when, but I guess they changed the formula.
Is that right?
And they're not as strong.
So they're not as fire resistant or whatever.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of videos on YouTube you see of people's Pyrexes breaking in the oven. Or they pull it out and it just shatters.
And
that doesn't happen with the old one.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I grew up with that stuff. Wow, man. And I know my mom still got all, my mom has every container that you can possibly have. Like for if she's like leftovers or anything,
mm-hmm.
14 million containers. She's also got all the cooking stuff that she had from like the 60s.
Yeah, she has the old Tupperwares.
She's got the old Tupperwares. I know she's got Pyrex dishes. This is something right here.
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to tell them to hang on to their Pyrex.
I know my parents have a lot of like the Jewel or Dominick's brand plates and stuff for the stamps
that you get with the green stamps, yeah.
Right, which yeah. I always get so excited when I see them in other people's houses.
Right.
And I'm like well, how do you have these?
Those stamps, got to collect your stamps. All right, Esmeralda, thanks, man.
See you tomorrow.
And, yeah, it's Wild Card Wednesday tomorrow. We'll be right back with the news.